is nicely labeled so we can see who's present. And I would like to start by calling the meeting to order. This is the July 6, 2020 meeting of the Energy and the Ulster County Legislature Energy and Environment Committee. And we did sort of unofficially call the roll, but I think I can just announce that myself, Deputy Mary Warrow, Al Bruno, Peter Criswell, and Laura Petit are all present. Because this is being recorded and we have, a visual record. And then is anyone prepared to help us show a flag so we can, there's Fawn. Okay, let's rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands,
one nation, under God,
indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. And
I'm not sure why every time I tip my camera up to say the pledge, my video was out.
Well, otherwise, we see your name, though, right?
Yeah, I'm still there doing it. Just
okay. Have folks had a chance to have committee members had a chance to look at the minutes of the June 1st meeting?
I did.
And if so, I would call for a motion to approve those minutes.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second it.
And I have to say, if I can, while I made that motion, I was pretty impressed when we had a complete transcript of it as well. It's the first time that's happened.
Yeah, there's some silver linings with this COVID crisis that, that's one of them. So just to acknowledge that. And the excellent work of, Lori Lichtenstein. And
great job.
So we have a motion on the floor. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The motion to approve the minutes is carried. We have two resolutions, and they're both solid waste related, and then we do have some new business and some old business. But for purposes of discussion, do I hear a motion for purposes of discussion for resolution number 2, local solid waste management plan?
I'll make a motion for discussion.
Okay.
I'll second that motion.
Okay, great. Thank you. All right. So I don't know if the committee, most of the committee or several of the committee members are also on the local solid waste planning commission. And we've had several meetings about the plan. I want to open this for discussion. I have my own feelings, but when I chair a meeting, I really like to listen and hear from others. So I would encourage, Al, please go ahead, Legislator Bruno.
My first gut feeling on this plan is we're being asked to approve a plan that is based on a revenue stream or a stream of refuse that the bigger the stream, the more money they make, so the better it's going to be. While at the same time, the zero waste management plan is kind of, a lot of us are on that same committee, and it's almost like it's counterintuitive to what the zero waste is trying to do. So, I mean, I think while it's a great plan, I mean, I've read through it. It's daunting. And I got to give them credit. There's a lot of work that went into it. However, it almost seems counterproductive to the zero waste. I think we need to address zero waste and moving towards zero waste in this plan as well. If that makes any sense to anybody or not, I'm open for ridicule.
Is it Chairwoman Green? I tend to agree with that. You know, I am impressed that they did listen to some of the comments. Fawn had sent me a red line version where they had gone through and addressed. And multiple times throughout the document, it does refer to waste reduction and perhaps even zero waste. At last week's solid waste meeting, we had asked board members if they would give us their assurances that they would create, follow, go into a zero waste reduction type program, and we didn't get a commitment. And within a couple of days, the Freeman had an article that, you know, was without a doubt, agency trashes the idea and the county policy was an atrocity. So I think that we need to, you know, look at the solid waste management plan, but until we have a standalone zero waste document, and as a contracted vendor for the county, I would expect this RRA to implement it, but we need that standalone document so we can assure that we've laid out our wishes as a county, and it's in a written program or plan.
Thank you. Who would like to speak next? Well, hearing no one and seeing no hands, I will state my feelings about the matter as someone who did chair the Solid Waste Planning Commission and really tried to hear everyone's concerns, suggestions, the pros and cons. And there were probably five different issues. The one that I think was outstanding was the need for a more detailed plan to approach zero waste, to work on waste diversion, as Legislator Bruno pointed out, and Legislator Petit has worked very hard with the Recycling Oversight Committee and also others. I know she had the assistance of Emily Hauser from the Environmental Management Council. Emily also worked for the UCRRA for at least 5 years, maybe closer to 10. So she has good background. I had informally, actually, I think we did put a written request, but not a specific, if you don't do this, we won't take action on the plan, but we made a very strong request to the RRA that they commit to working with the Recycling Oversight Committee and with the appropriate county departments. And I see that Deputy Evelyn Wright is here, and the county departments that are listed in the zero waste community policy include energy, or rather the Department of the Environment and the Planning Department, but that might also extend to economic development and possibly even the IDA in terms of promoting economic development that will support our commitment to waste diversion. But primarily that we develop what I would like to call a zero waste implementation plan that has as much detail and as careful a timeline as the local solid waste plan. And so that request was extended, but it was not acted upon. Unless anyone has an objection, my suggestion as sponsor of the resolution number 242 is that we not act tonight on that resolution, but to be sure that there is a meeting where members of the legislature can be in direct communication with the UCRRA for the purpose of getting an agreement. They would have time between now and their next meeting to develop a resolution for a jointly developed, collaboratively developed zero waste plan that would be completed. I'm going to call it a zero waste implementation plan that would be completed by the end of this year. I don't want to slow down the process, primarily because I'm keenly aware that we at best have 5 more years at Seneca Meadows. And I would really like to see the landfill feasibility study, the RFP, be developed and circulated this year. And that is indicated in the plan. A lot of things have slowed down because of COVID, but the waste stream hasn't slowed down, and Seneca Meadows is still filling rapidly. And I know I spoke with Chairman Wadnola, and I've spoken with most of the board members, and there is a very strong commitment to move forward with that that element of the plan. There were some mixed feelings about some of the other issues that were raised. I'm not going to go through each one, but in the discussion at the Solid Waste Planning Commission, there was an understanding that each one of the other issues could be worked through in the context of the local solid waste management plan. But I, you know, if we're going to be successful, we have to work together. And I want to see the next headline regarding the UCRRA and the legislature be one of agreement, that we agree to work together to achieve common goals. And so I don't want to slow things down, but unless somebody has a better suggestion, I think we really need to get a commitment from the UCRRA to work with the Recycling Oversight Committee and the others that I've just named in a collaborative manner. And I want to say that we did work collaboratively on the what is informally known as the food waste composting law. And we also started a collaborative process with agency staff and board and several legislators and a few community members to do zero waste planning. So there is precedent, and I just think that we really need that commitment. I'm wondering, before I don't know that I should make that motion, although as sponsor I can, but before we do, I would like to ask for comment, including from the agency, because it is hopefully just a month's delay, but it is a delay, and I'm keenly aware. Peter, please.
Anna, I need to interrupt you first. We have a caller on a Samsung phone. I just have an SMJ327B. Can I ask who the caller is? We have a caller on the line. We're trying to identify the caller on the Samsung line.
That might be me.
What's the name?
Dave Haldeman.
Oh, it's Dave. Apparently, Dave is doing what I'm doing, so he's called in. And he's also,
okay, no problem.
Because my wife has to take over the computer for her Zoom meeting.
Okay.
EMC.
Technology adapting. That's what we're all doing these days. I just had a quick question about if this was such a priority on the legislature's part, why wasn't this actually already addressed in the plan? Was there some reason that it was? Was it avoided for some reason? Was it just not prioritized? I'm just curious. If the conversation's been going on for how long has this conversation been going on, Chairman Green?
The Solid Waste Planning Commission has been meeting, I would say, roughly for about a year. The Recycling Oversight Committee has been meeting longer than that. And of course, the agency hired Cornerstone. And I want to say there's a lot about waste diversion in the plan. It's not absent. It's just not as, in other words, they listed a lot of information, but they didn't take it to the stage of implementation the way they did with the what I consider residual waste technologies, the landfilling, the biomass, exporting by rail, municipal solid waste composting was set aside. So I do think that it's fair to say that there is, you know, there's at least 10 pages of information. There's a substantial amount of information on waste diversion in the plan, but it's aspirational, not implementable. I think I was quoted as saying that. And given the fact that we're in a climate crisis and that solid waste management is part of the climate, sound solid waste management is part of the climate solution. You know, for example, the agency in terms of waste diversion is composting, and they've been developing their food waste composting program over the past few years. And then we will add in the next 3 years, close to 10,000 tons of waste to be diverted every year. So I think we're all really headed in the right direction and we have the same goals. I think what we need to do is map out a process to achieve that by the end of this year. That's my suggestion.
I say thank you. That makes a lot of sense, and I think that vague does not work. So we have to get as specific as possible if we really want to reach these goals.
Yes. Anybody from the agency want to comment?
Yeah, I, Manager Joe, I'm just waiting.
Oh, I'm sorry. If you had your hand up, I wasn't aware. Please, are you ready to speak, or should I see if
anyone? No, I'm waiting on you, dear.
Okay. Does anyone want to speak before we recognize Chairman Wadnola? All right, please.
Okay. All right, you know, we had a conversation, and I think probably about a week ago, and I gave you a commitment that we have, the board of the RRA is very supportive of zero waste. We've had 3 out of 5 members go to the workshops. The majority of the board is super supportive of the zero waste concept. Our composting, as you noticed, as you mentioned earlier, we do over 10,000 tons. We've become the number one show spot for the DEC in New York State. We had last year a busload of people from China who came to visit because the DEC wanted to see our operation there. We've had several visitations from other states, from Connecticut and Massachusetts, come to see what we do in composting at the RRA. So we're very proud of the product that we produce and the food waste that we take out of the food stream and bring it to our composting. We, as you know, our executive director has terminated his employment with the RRA and has found employment with the county. So we're in the process now of trying to make some plans where we're going to go from here. This coming Friday, we're going to have an executive session of the 5 board members, and we're going to talk about what our future plans are going to be to the end of the year and just what is going to happen. So at this point in time, I can't tell you because I'm not really sure. We have to wait for our executive session meeting on Friday and for the board to decide in what area they're going to make changes and where we're going to go from there. But I did give you a commitment, and I stand behind our commitment to support zero waste and so forth. And as we move ahead, we're also looking at landfills. Charlie Landy and I have spent probably the last year and a half looking around the county and talking to people before the pandemic about locations of landfills. And we're just waiting for things to open up so that we can get out and talk to the local supervisors and the DEC. I have an appointment set up with DEC as soon as they reopen their offices for a meeting with their staff to talk about landfills. And Charlie has done a lot of research on landfills. Catherine Beinhofer, who's a geologist on our board, has really helped us a lot in trying to find the right location for landfills and so forth. So the board is really working to move ahead and trying to find solutions for the waste stream. But unfortunately, the pandemic really threw a wrench in our operation for a while. But, you know, we're hoping as things get better, we'll be back on the road looking. So, you know, all I can tell you is be patient and we're going to move ahead.
Legislator Bruno.
Yeah, I got a question, Fred. Sure. You said you're going to have an executive session to see where you're going forward. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm just trying to understand the executive session area. I thought that generally had to do with personnel.
It is. And since our executive director left, we're meeting this Friday to talk about where we're going to go. Are we going to go with a new executive director? Are we going to have in-house people run the operation for a while to the end of the year? Everything is in a state of flux right now. So I don't know where we're going until we have this meeting and I get the feeling of all the board members. We have 5 board members and we have 5 different trains of thought. So we really need to get together and find out where we're going to go personnel wise. And that's why we're having the meeting this Friday.
I can appreciate that. And thanks for the clarification. Yeah. And at the same time, that just leads credence more so to postponing this because we don't know what the final outcome is going to be of that and who's going to be leading this.
Right. We don't know yet. No.
Right. So yeah. There's a lot of questions. And one of the things that kind of struck me, if I may.
Sure.
Not only to the committee, but to, Fred and Charlie Landy and everything. Like, you guys have done an incredible job. And I personally want to say thank you for all the work that's been done. But the Resource Recovery Agency, when we think about the name, it's the Resource Recovery Agency, not the Resource Disposal Agency. And that's the one thing that glares at me, that when I say that, when I hear that, I mean, I understand we need a landfill. I understand we need a place to put the stuff that can't be recovered. But we need to move forward with more so, I believe, with the stuff that can be recovered, can be repaired, can be regenerated. And I think that's where we need to push more of our focus.
Well, you know, New York State has not done a good job. If you go into southern states, you go in the Midwest, and recycling companies are there. They can use the recycled plastics. They take the OCC, the corrugated cardboard, and they reuse it and so forth. We have one company in the Mohawk Valley that does cardboard. New York State is not a good state for recycling because there it's not supportive, and it's so difficult to do business in New York State with the companies that come in here for recycling. So that's a major problem. We have the recycled products there. You have to find markets for them. And that's one of the major problems that we have. We don't have markets for all the plastic, for the glass, for the cardboard that we could recycle. We need to do a better job in New York State in bringing companies in to recycle the materials that we have available and reproduce them into, you know, viable products. And that's a major problem.
Yeah, and Fred, I couldn't agree with you more. One of the things that struck me was a number of years ago, there's a company in Saugerties called Unity Creations who was doing just that with the tires, right? Not long after the Catskill tire fire, if you remember that.
Right.
That's one small piece of it. Not very small, actually. And they completely transformed how they can dispose of tires. And they're located right in Saugerties. That being said, I mean, what do we need to do as a county to incentivize and to get people to bring those kind of businesses here? I know you say New York is not very friendly when it comes to that. Well, Ulster County, we've been cutting edge on so many things in the past. We need to continue that, and I think it's on us to make that happen.
Get your economic development person that works for the county executive to start going out there and soliciting companies to come here.
No argument here.
Yeah.
Thank you. No argument.
It's tough. It's tough to get companies to come because it's so difficult to do business in New York. If you go down south, you can see a lot of recycling companies. They're doing very well in recycling in the Midwest. In some of the states, you're doing a wonderful job. It's just, it's very difficult in New York.
I see Legislator Bartels and Legislator Chris Bell have their hand up. I also want to just, say to Deputy Wright that, this has come up quite often recently with regard to waste diversion. And I know that in terms of economic development, I think if any of the legislators are on economic development or attend the IDA meetings, I think that we have great opportunity. I keep thinking it might be Tech City, but we certainly have great opportunity, and IDAs are sometimes given out to things that don't help the environment. Let's see if we can get an IDA to attract a recycling business. And quite a few of us went to see one in New Jersey that was very effective. Legislator Bartels and then Legislator Grissom.
Thank you. I want to just kind of circle back to the plan and say, I was listening to the meeting in the beginning on my phone, and Legislator Bruno had some astute observations in terms of the agency and the drive, that dichotomy between the drive for waste and revenue and how that intersects with diversion and the move towards zero waste. Legislator Petit talked about that newspaper article. I was very disappointed to read some of the comments in the newspaper article. They certainly didn't feel the spirit of collaboration. It's no one that's in this meeting right now are the people who made it. But I think it's important that we actually, it needs to be more than an assurance. And it's not, for me, it's not that I don't trust Chair Wadanola at his word. It's that we actually have to put this, we have to put these things in writing. They need to be a part of the plan or an attachment to the plan. They need to live beyond this group of us on both boards, and they need to set the tone, which is why some of us were such, I'm going to say, almost nitpickers on the details. And I'm not going to revisit the specifics that caused me concern, but as I spoke to various members, I was assured, for example, on the rail, that's just a temporary solution. We're not looking at it as a full-time solution, but that's not what it says. And I think it's the 10-year plan. I do think we have to get it right. And I think the move towards zero waste and the assurance of the agency's commitment to that needs to somehow be contained either in the plan directly or as an addendum to the plan that's signed off on or in some actual legitimate vote, which not only did it not happen at the last board meeting, then there were statements in the paper that were really counter to working together in a productive way, which I know we are. And I too am grateful for the work the agency has done. But again, I think this is bigger than any one of us or than either of our boards. And I think we all know how pressing it is in terms of the need to move quickly. So I'm hopeful that we can actually make some of these changes and get the assurance from the board in a formalized manner. And then we can move this plan forward and get working toward the sort of final solution that we need to be working toward.
So I think at this point, I'm sorry, Legislator Griffin.
I just had a quick question about the market for recyclables. I actually don't know the market well. Are there any neighboring states where it's better than New York? And what would be the possibility? Would it be cost prohibitive to travel with recyclables? Would that make it not work? I again, don't know the larger landscape, so tell me.
The market is not good now. Right now for recyclables. And it fluctuates on a weekly basis. You know, the cardboard can go anywhere from $10 a ton to $100 a ton. It's a very fluid market, and it's all predicated on the quality of the cardboard, quality of the plastics, whether you can get clear plastics or the milk containers, which they like and stuff like that. So the market is very fluid, and it changes on a weekly basis.
And are we restricted to doing business in New York State?
We do business in New York State with some of the metals and that. We have a firm in Albany that buys our metal. We have a lot of plastic stored out at the RRA.
Are we actually restricted, though, to do business in New York State? Or if we found
somewhere
in Jersey or somewhere that far afield, we could actually use them possibly?
Yeah, we sell glass in New Jersey.
Okay.
So we have a market in New Jersey, which is drying up because the state of New Jersey is giving the company we do business with a hard time, and that company is trying to relocate in Pennsylvania. So, I don't know where that's going to go, to be honest.
Thank you. Tim, did you want to say something about that?
Yeah, I just wanted to add something generally speaking about our recycling. Technically, we don't do a lot of volume compared to other places. Ulster County, 180,000 people, but we still are rural from the standpoint of recycling volume. So that kind of makes it a little more difficult than other places.
Tracy, did you want to add something?
Yeah, I was just going to say that, I think, some of the challenges in recycling, we all saw this happen for so long. We were reliant on international markets, particularly China, that were taking commingled, contaminated recycling and paying us for it. And the backstory to why that stopped is too long to go into now. But when that stopped, the markets dried up. And I think, when Legislator Green referred to the visit we took in New Jersey, which was primarily a plastic film. They were doing plastic film recycling. They were doing lots of other things, but that's one of the interesting things that they were doing. A lot of it, I think, has to do with not just creating, enticing the businesses that do the recycling to come to New York State or to come locally, but it's creating the market for the product, because the raw product is still cheap. So, it's a whole seismic shift really has to happen, you know, that hierarchy of reduce first and then reuse and then recycle, because as we continue to just buy things that we throw away, you know, individual drink bottles, and we just chuck them, you know, you get 5 cents for them, they end up getting to a market, and we're going to talk about the expanded bottle bill, but we really have to start thinking differently and see that back end all the way to its logical extension, not just to the recycling plant, but to then where does it go after? Just wanted to add that for clarification.
So at this point, I think I am going to, as sponsor, I can just hold the resolution without getting...
Or the committee can just take no action.
The committee will take no action. And between now and a month from now, I would like to, well, let me back up and just, Attorney Gordon helped draft the resolution for the UCRA Local Solid Waste Management Plan. And I just want to ask if we included language in that. And there were several versions, and I haven't had a chance to refresh my memory today. Was there language in there that said that there was an agreement with the RRA? I don't recall.
The agreement,
zero waste plan.
No, I'd have to go back and look at the language, but I don't think so at all. That resolution was drafted back in February or March of last year, close to a year and a half ago. I don't think there was any specific language on the zero waste plan that I remember. I'd have to go back and check it out, but I don't remember any. The agreement with the RRA was to jointly appear on and be part of the committee, the Solid Waste Management Commission, and to develop recommendations for the Solid Waste Management Plan. But I don't think there's anything specific on zero waste. I would need to go back and look at it, but off the top of my head, the answer would be no.
So I think between now and the next time we meet, we should work out a process and develop a whereas that acknowledges a process to create a zero waste to collaboratively create a zero waste implementation plan. So is there anything else on this topic? Because we have a couple other things and we have some guests who wanted to present.
Manager, I was just thinking also, if we postpone it with your permission as the sponsor, then there's no clock running on when you have to vote. So you may want to postpone it with your permission.
Okay, so...
That's what we could just say, you're postponing it with your permission.
Okay, all right, very good. And I really do want to get this done by next month. As I said, if it was a really horrendous plan that there was a lot of objection from the legislature, from the public, then that would be different. But it's a good sound plan that we feel needs to be supplemented. Many of us feel need to be supplemented. I would like to, it may be that the memorializing resolution number 243, urging New York State Legislature to increase recycling and reduce municipal waste management costs by expanding the New York State Returnable Container Act, the bottle bill. It's a memorializing resolution. Can I hear a motion to act on this? And hopefully, if there's going to be a long discussion, as we needed to, on the local solid waste plan, I may ask forbearance to change the order, but if it's just going to be something with, you know, minimal discussion, I think we can dispense with it. Do I hear a motion on resolution number 243?
Laura Petit, were you moving it?
Yeah, I'd like to move it for discussion.
Okay.
I'll second that.
Okay. Go ahead.
Years ago, we had actually looked at including all beverage containers. I understand 2 or 3 years ago when it was brought back to Albany, the concern from some of the solid waste authorities is that they'll be losing, you know, one of the last of their viable recyclable products. I would still like to see it include all beverage containers, but as we're looking at this, we also have to consider the impact. If it's glass containers, that'll be liquor stores. So we'll be turning all of our area liquor stores into redemption centers. I mean, I don't think that the Albany's in session yet. If we could bring this forward again next month and maybe add a little bit more. Do I keep freezing, Mary? Anyway, that's my 2 cents for what it's worth.
Anyone else? I am a little bit concerned that, well, it's my understanding that session will probably go through September. So if we reconsider in August, I think we're not too late. Does anyone else have
I'm
any
not
other?
Sure, what you're saying, Matt? I can barely hear you.
I'm sorry.
I'm not really sure what you were just saying. What you're trying to say?
Yeah, I think that I was concerned that if we waited till August, it might be too late.
Okay.
But my understanding is that session is quite likely to go through September, that they may take some time off in August and come back in September because they are backed up. I don't know if that's reliable information. Actually, we have a couple folks from Environmental Advocates that might be able to just do you know anything more about the schedule, Joshua or Kate.
Yeah, I mean, what we're hearing is that they're going to be coming back to session towards the end of the month. So I don't actually know if they'll, I haven't heard any rumors about them meeting through September. That seems unlikely to me, but I would get the sense they would come back for a short period, or what I've heard, a short period in July, end of July, maybe through August, to cover policy, non-COVID related policy. But again, these are just things that we're hearing, nothing confirmed.
Well,
in front of them then? Or are we asking them, I mean, the memorializing resolution, is there already law in Albany to bring in glass containers? I mean, I'm not adamantly opposed.
Are you talking about a state law to extend the bottle bill? There's nothing.
Is there a law now? A bill?
There are bills, but I don't think they're being progressed seriously that would expand the bottle bill to glass and what you're referring to, liquor and alcohol or liquor and wine. There has been a lot of talk about that, but nothing recently. And I don't think it's part of the agenda moving forward right now.
So then this resolution would just be a moot point. It really would go nowhere anyway.
There's no resolution. There's no state or Senate or Assembly resolution numbers in the resolution.
Yeah.
So this is a memorializing resolution, basically, that's going to go nowhere.
There are state bills out there. I mean, Senator Kaminsky and Assembly Member Engelbreit have a version of it, but there has been no movement since.
Is there any other counties throughout New York State who are passing similar resolutions? Anybody?
I think we probably need more information. And unless there's a strong will of the committee to act on it this evening, I think we should, and I'll try to help do some research. I tend to agree with Legislator Petit, but I also, you know, support expanding the bottle bill even without glass. But I, you know, it doesn't seem like folks have enough information or are ready to act on this particular resolution. Is my sense correct?
And Mike, honestly, Manager Joe, this is, I agree with you on this. I support it just in the concept of it. I think it just makes sense. If we're gonna do it, let's do it across the board. However, it doesn't seem like there's enough support or enough people seem to have their handle on it right now. Like I asked before, is there any other counties that are doing similar things to the state to try to push this forward? Or are we like the lone wolf?
This is maybe a question I should know the answer to, but Fawn, who's the sponsor for this resolution?
David Donaldson was the primary sponsor, and it looks like he's got Legislator Bruno, Criswell, Green, Litz, and Wuro offering the following.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all supportive of the concept of it, like I've said in the past, and I'm saying it again now. But if this is a memorializing resolution that is just kind of wasting everybody's time, it has to go through the state. I mean, is it really worth it?
It does put us on record saying that this is where we want things to go. So,
and I agree, Pete, I agree. And that's why I supported it. That's why I said, put my name on it as well. But ultimately, are we just like spinning our wheels on ice?
Legislator Bartels?
I would just say that, you know, these movements, this has long been talked about, but these movements have to start somewhere. I don't think we need to wait for a bill to be there or for other counties to be on record. If it's something that we feel strongly about, being on record has a power for sure. So I think it's a question of the timing. I mean, if there's a concern that they may not be in session, being on record sooner is better because it may allow others to follow our lead. So I would just put that out for these mere members.
Well taken. Granted. I agree. I'm still on board with it. I still support the resolution.
Not do this. So sorry, Al. I don't see any reason why we wouldn't do this at this point.
You don't see a reason to do it or to not do it?
Okay. To not do it.
Okay, so then I'm going to call the question on resolution number 243, unless there's any other discussion. All in favor of resolution number 243?
Aye.
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 I'll be an aye on it, but I think we need to follow through so it's not just another kind of nice, hey, look what we did, we're asking the state. I like to see some action, so if we could get to Senator Metzger and Assemblyman Cahill to see if we couldn't get them to carry a bill in the fall session, I think ideally, I think that's what I'm looking for. I'd like to see some real action taken on it. So, but I'm a yes, I'm not gonna hold it up.
I'm a yes as well.
Okay, any opposed? All right, the resolution number 243 passes committee. And then I want to go directly to new business, which is the New York Green Amendment. This is a proposed amendment to the New York State Constitution. And we have two speakers. I would like to ask that we, you know, keep the background information on this to about 5 minutes. So we have Joshua Cohen and Kate Carrera from Environmental Advocates of New York, who asked to speak with us about this. And I told them I would give them about 5 minutes to still new business, and we can figure out how to move forward on it after we hear from them. Thank you.
And the Joshua, information they sent us is on your OneDrive.
Yes.
We're just going to mute Mary on the 1 minute.
Where's Mary's close tonight, isn't she?
With the Galaxy S110E. Is that me?
It's Mary, I believe. She just logged in, and I think we're. Can you?
Oh, okay.
There we go.
Joshua, please go ahead.
Thank you, Mana Jo. Thank you for having us. I'm going to actually let Kate kick it off, and then I will add as well. But thank you for having us. Nice to see everyone.
Oh, thanks, Josh. Thank you, everyone. I'm assuming most of you know of our organization in Albany. Maybe you don't. Just to give you like 30 seconds, you know, we're a nonprofit lobbying, environmental lobbying organization in Albany. We have three kind of major actually, I should have introduced myself. My name is Kate Carrera. I'm the deputy director of the organization before I go into what we do. And, you know, we have three kind of strategic priority areas in our organization: climate, water, and communities portfolio. And a lot of what you've just been discussing about the solid waste, I manage our kind of solid waste work. So it was very familiar to what I've, you know, familiar with in terms of what's going on in Albany in that space. And the discussion that you also just preceded this about whether or not you as a legislative body want to pass a resolution that has kind of just, you know, for the sake of showing your support and the power that that can bring to Albany, is kind of what we're going to talk to today about the Green Amendment, because the Green Amendment resolutions that, and Joshua will go into kind of the campaign and our goals in terms of reaching out to local governments, is that inevitably, you know, a collective voice from county governments across the state is really powerful in terms of telling Albany what's important to New Yorkers. So the Green Amendment is as Mana Jo mentioned, it's a proposed amendment to the New York State Constitution. It's a pretty simple amendment. It was 15 words. It says, we shall have the right to clean air, clean water, and healthful environment. This provision would be inserted into the Bill of Rights section of the New York State Constitution. So that's really the Bill of Rights in the state constitution. Of course, there's a, you know, counterpart in our federal constitution, but the New York State Bill of Rights is where, you know, our inalienable, you know, most fundamental rights lie in the state as well as federally. I think an interesting point is that, you know, in the New York State Constitution, and I don't know how many of you have kind of combed through it recently, or at least through the Bill of Rights, but if you go there, you have a constitutional fundamental right to play bingo. And it actually spells out the word bingo in the Constitution. So we feel quite strongly that if you have the right to play bingo in New York, you certainly have the right to breathe clean air, drink clean water, and live in a healthy environment. The bill, to amend the state constitution, there's kind of a procedural process. So two New York legislatures separately convened have to pass the same bill. So last session in 2019, that legislative body passed the amendment. And so where we are right now, we refer to that as the first passage of the bill. And what we're ramping up for is that in 2021, the newly elected New York State Legislature that's going to be, you know, put into office and convene hopefully in January 2021 is going to take up the same exact bill, the same language, and need to pass that. Once that legislature passes the bill for the second time or second passage, the bill then basically is allowed to go on the ballot, and it will be referred to a referendum to New York voters. So it doesn't go to the governor. Doesn't have a veto, anything. So what's really important, and I'll kind of pass it on to Josh, is why, because it's a ballot initiative, because this is going to be a statement of New Yorkers, it is so important that this message starts at the local level and that we can build support kind of ground up, because there is opposition, and certainly because this is the second we have time, the opposition will certainly be much stronger as we go for the second passage next year. So just with that, I'll let Josh talk a little bit about the campaign and what we're doing, resolutions, and then I think we're happy to take some questions.
Yeah, thank you, Kate. And I'll be brief. We are partnering on this campaign with Green Amendment for the Generations, which is like sort of grew out of the Delaware Riverkeeper Network and also the Adirondack Mountain Club. So those are sort of our core partners on this campaign. We're also having conversations with some environmental justice leaders in New York City as well as part of this. And as Kate mentioned, we're trying to demonstrate local support across the state. So we're looking at all of the regions of New York State and trying to get local resolutions passed at the municipal level, also at the county level, ideally. So currently we've worked with some folks in central New York around Ithaca. The town of Ulysses and Interlaken have passed local resolutions. And the template that we shared with you, I think came from the town of Ulysses that we adapted, but it's very basic language that we're hoping you might consider passing in Ulster County as a way to sort of show your support for this, but also demonstrate your leadership at the county level. I've been having conversations sort of up and down the Hudson Valley recently with folks in Dutchess County, Columbia County. We're soon to have conversations in Albany County. So we're trying to push the counties right now, as well as sort of seeing where we have traction at the local level in terms of municipalities. So I'm having conversations with Hudson, with Beacon, with Poughkeepsie, just some other local organizations as well to see where we can sort of push this. Because we do want to show this sort of groundwell of support for this very basic sort of right to clean air and clean water, to then demonstrate that for the second passage in 2021. So that's, and then we had a webinar series in May, and we can share the link with any of you if you're interested. They were all recorded, and we go into depth about sort of the legality of an amendment like this and how to sort of pass one at the local level. So we can share any other resources that might be helpful for your conversations. But we really appreciate you considering this and for having us today. Thank you.
So I think the next step for us is to each of us to look closely at the information that you provided. It was too late to consider as a memorializing resolution. You know, our deadline is a week or so ahead of session of committee meetings. But let's take a look and then see if we want to be prepared for August to have a memorializing resolution in support of this. And at that time, we'll have specific discussion pro and con. But in the meantime, does anyone have any questions for Joshua or Kate? Legislator Petit and then Legislator Criswell. Lori, you're on mute.
I should have let Peter go first. I'm sorry. Chairwoman Green, could we do a memorializing letter and get signatures so we didn't have to wait another month?
I'm certainly open to that. Let's hear from Legislator Criswell and then the rest of the committee.
Just a question about partnerships. Have you, I'm guessing that you've probably had conversations with Scenic Hudson, and if you have, how have those gone?
Josh, you want to take that?
Yeah, in the past we have had conversations with Scenic Hudson as well as like League of Women Voters and some other organizations. We've held press conferences in Albany for the first passage, and we had a lot of organizations that we partnered with on that at the state level. And I think Scenic Hudson may have been one of the ones we were in touch with last year on that, but they haven't been part of the core group that we've been working with this on. But we do need to build partnerships as we're going into next year, certainly. So. That's a great suggestion.
Well, that's what I was going to ask is, you know, we can get individual support, but a lot of us also know people, so we can try and connect you with organizations. So,
thank you. I appreciate that.
So Legislator Petit asked about a letter. My question is, can we don't have a letter ready to act on tonight, but a letter can appear at any time and doesn't have to go through committee. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So I would be glad to work with Legislator Petit to adapt the memorializing resolution to a letter that people can sign, and that might be faster. Is there a strong preference for the people that are organizing this effort that it be a resolution rather than a letter? Because it's a question of time. And also, you know, as I said, even though we often do have memorializing resolutions, I think there's a general feeling amongst the legislature that they prefer sign-on letters. But Kate, do you want to just address the question of the value of a letter that many of us, I think, would sign versus a formal resolution?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think either would probably be fine. A memorializing resolution, of course, doesn't really, you know, I understand, you know, it's harder to get, and it's effectively has the same support. So I think what we're, you know, what's important to us is as we build this momentum and as we can, you know, we could use that letter, like when we go to other counties and saying, you know, maybe you didn't pass a resolution, but you've passed a memorializing letter, and, you know, Ulster County is in support of this amendment. And it's really about getting, is growing that momentum. And then when we get to a point when we're really fighting for this thing, and when we're fighting for it on the ballot, is knowing that we have the local governments to help with this message to constituents, to help kind of set that the importance of the value of this kind of amendment to vote for it at the ballot. So I don't see any problems with the letter at all. I think it's what your body chooses to do and feels most comfortable with.
Would a letter preclude us from doing a memorializing resolution at a later date?
I don't think so. And honestly, we have some time, right? I mean, we're kind of, this bill won't even be voted on until earliest January next year, right? We're starting early because, you know, if you're trying to grow a campaign or momentum through an entire statewide process, you kind of want to start planting those seeds early. So even working through a resolution over the next couple months would also probably be fine. There's no necessarily, but I think you could certainly pass a letter and then you would have that, and that would be your support for a resolution if you wanted to take it further, to give it a little bit more authority, I guess, if you will.
All right, well, I think we'll take that step, and in the meantime, you know, educate ourselves, and we'll start hearing questions, and we'll be able to get those questions answered. So let's leave it at that for now. And thank you very much. I know you both have young children that need your attention. So we'll be back in touch.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And of course, feel free to reach out to Joshua or myself if you have any questions after reviewing the materials. We're definitely here to help.
Great, thank you.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Yep. I want to be sure that, and we could use your help in actually providing a resolution and a letter of affiliation, and it should absolutely include our two representatives. Actually, we have several, but Assemblyman Cahill and who else from Ulster County?
Senator Metzger.
Senator Metzger.
We have four senators and four assemblymen.
We also have, we have Assemblyman Chris Teague from Missouri.
Let's be sure they're all listed, whether it's a letter or a resolution. And thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much. Happy
You're
to help.
You're very welcome. We're going to move on to the 2020 annual report. Deputy Wright is still on. I personally reached out to her and thanked her for an excellent, really excellent report in the face of COVID and everything else. And I know that the original resolution for a zero waste community policy was drafted by legislator Petit, who, you know, I think was very gratified to see that. I don't want to speak for you though. a really excellent report.
Great.
And Solid Waste Planning Commission, I think we've addressed those issues. My one question is kind of a process question that, you know, how would we get the various, the UCRA, the Recycling Oversight Committee, and the relevant county agencies working together, and, you know, who would coordinate that? That's something I'd like to get clarity on. Anybody has any suggestions? I don't want to take a lot more time because we've spent a lot of time on that, but.
I don't know if Dr. Wright is listening. It looks like she's listening, but.
Okay.
Yep, I'm here.
Okay. I don't know if she wants to address that, the question about how to get various agencies to work with us and the RRA to write the zero waste plan.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm not sure if I understand the question exactly.
The Solid Waste Planning Commission made a request of the agency that they work with the Recycling Oversight Committee, which has done a lot of work on a draft of what hopefully will become a zero waste implementation plan. And the two departments that are cited in Resolution 451 include the Department of Environment and the Planning Department. It's also been recommended that we consider including economic development and possibly the IDA. So that's a lot of coordination to review a draft, to make you know, the additions, and we have to work virtually. I know in working on the food waste composting law, we met physically in person most of the time over the course of many months. We tried to reach out to every stakeholder and bring that information together. But there are some lessons to be learned from that process. And I just, you know, we don't have a formal process, but if we just accept a resolution with the intention of collaboratively developing the plan, someone has to be responsible for making sure that that collaboration happens. So that's what I wanted people to think about. I don't necessarily want us to have an answer tonight. If somebody has a good suggestion, you know, we would welcome it. But I'm concerned that as much as we want to see, you know, a timeline and benchmarks for implementation between now and the end of the year, we need a process to achieve that. I'm just going to call on John Wackman and say, hey, John, you make this happen. I don't mean to put you on the spot. But, you know, somehow we have to, you know, have a plan to do the coordination. And if we need to just take a break and think about it and come up with real concrete suggestions at the next meeting, we can do that. Fred, please, go ahead.
Do you have a written plan?
Yes.
There is a draft.
Okay. Would you forward it to the RRA so we could take a look at it? Oh, I haven't. Yes. I haven't seen it.
I don't know who has seen it or who has not, but it was developed mainly by Legislator Petit and members of the Recycling Oversight Committee under, as part of Resolution 451, they kind of took the bull by the horns and started drafting quite a bit of information. It's still in a draft form, and people have started to offer comments and suggestions already. But it's in a very draft form and, you know, open to shaping and discussion. Legislator Petit, are you okay with us sending?
Absolutely. Because one of the comments I got was that the action plan was a little stale. So, you know, given I've been doing this for 30 years and things have really changed, it would be nice to get more input. And, you know, honestly, when we wrote New Pulse, the Zero Waste Action Plan, there was a lot of public input, and the plan really shaped itself very differently than I originally envisioned it. So, yes, absolutely. I'll send it to the RRA. And, I mean, if there's a way we could hold future meetings, real work meetings, to put some of these ideas into the plan, but we're going to need one document. Emily had made some changes, and I had already forwarded out what I thought was a final draft ready for review. She had some ideas about reordering the detailed zero waste description. So it's going to be a changing document as we add in these comments. And some of the comments are just really amazing. I even heard back from Pat Ryan, who forwarded it to Evelyn. I think my question to him was, how do we tie this into your vision of a green county in education?
So, yeah, I received that from him this afternoon. I haven't had a chance to look at it yet, but I'm happy for Amanda and I and whoever else needs to take a look and give you some feedback.
And I wonder, you know, we're trying to phase out the Solid Waste Planning Commission, but I don't know if it fits there to extend the Solid Waste Planning Commission. If the agency reviews the document and wants to commit a staff person to convene the meetings, and, you know, that's the process that I want to understand, is who's going to take charge of us getting from where, you know, this early draft, and, you know, Laura, if you want to take some time and reorder it according to the suggestions or incorporate. But it's an early preliminary draft. And that's why when people started offering comment as if it was a period of public comment, we're far from that. But we are certainly open to suggestions. And between now and a month from now, I think we need to define the process to achieve, a document. If it weren't, the financial crunch we're under, I would actually recommend that we hire someone to do that coordination. But we can't take on any additional expenses, so we're going to have to figure out how to do it with the resources we have. All right. Climate Smart Committee. What I want to say is that Legislator DeLon and I had a wonderful meeting with UCRRA President and Dr. Alan Roberts.
You mean SUNY Ulster President?
SUNY
Ulster. What did I say?
You said the RRA.
Oh, I got it. Sorry, too many U's. yes, with SUNY Ulster President and with actually Alan Lomita is a board member at UCRA, and it was a follow-up to communication asking that there be more emphasis in this year's budget report and request on sustainability and specifically on climate solutions. And the response was really gratifying. There's a lot being done that I think many of us were simply not aware of. And they have documented, they've created essentially a sustainability committee with 5 goals. And we can, if we haven't already, we can share that information. And there will be an opportunity in the fall to do a round table to gather more information. And also Legislator DeLong asked if there's a specific project, the Economic Development Department is in contract with a group that finances really good projects. And we might be able to find a creative way to accelerate the goals, the really excellent goals that they have set forward. And it's a real timeline. And we made a few other suggestions, but I did want this committee to know that we did that outreach. And I expect that there'll be some report by Legislator DeLong to Legislative Programs Committee. And any other old business or new business? Any final comments? Well, if hearing none, I would request a motion to adjourn.
I'll make that motion that we adjourn.
Second made by Legislator Bruno, seconded by Legislator Criswell. And I hope at some point it's safe to meet in public and see each other in person again. But thank you all for attending tonight's virtual meeting. All in favor of adjourning?
Aye.
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Meeting is adjourned at 7:37. We did very well. And thank you folks from the RRA for attending as well.
Have a great night, guys.
Thank you.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night. Thank you. Good night.